Let's open our Bibles this evening, getting back into Romans 8. And we left off in the fourth verse. And, let's go ahead and read that. It says there in the fourth verse of Romans 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, what that is, again, stating and affirming to us is that the righteous requirement of the law was fully met in us in Christ, because God sent His Son to be made sin for us. I thank the Lord that we come in here completely debt-free. Hallelujah. The debt has completely been paid. And as we begin tonight, I do want to mention this, that we are going to focus from this fourth verse to the 13th verse. And as we begin this, I do want to read from the ninth verse, because I believe it will set this precious table of food that is prepared for us tonight completely, so that our thought and our thoughts are captivated again with the very righteousness of God, the inner man, that praise be to God, in Him we are brand new, and we are in that precious realm of grace. But in verse 9 of Romans 8, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. Amen. And praise be to God. Again, children of the King, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord tonight that we know that again, who we are in Christ. And once again, we are fully assured, brothers and sisters, of the seed that remaineth. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. That thank you, Jesus, that no man can pluck them out of my hand. I am so grateful to God for that peace and that assurance, brothers and sisters, that we are crucified with Christ. Amen. We have died with Him. Amen. That's done. And yet, you know what? We live. But it's not I that lives. It's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? The very inner man, the new man, lives by the Word of God. That's what faith is. And faith comes one way, and that's by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So again, as we begin, that is who we are in Christ. The realm that we live in is the realm of grace. Praise be to God, where there is no law, there is no sin. So we understand our reality, brothers and sisters, is that we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen. Period. Dwells in us. Period. And the Spirit of God does not dwell in us only if we are yielding or if we're not yielding, but it dwells in us. Amen. Know it. Because, praise God, of our new birth, because we are born of God, because now we are the sons of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now again, this is by faith, brothers and sisters. The moment we step out of faith and we try to live the lie of by sight or feeling, this is going to be very far from a captivated mind of the Word of God, isn't it? We're going to be lied to. We're going to be misled. We're going to become, whether it's guilty of our own or judgmental of somebody else. Brothers and sisters, this is who we are. We are us in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, going on, we have 10 verses that God gives us here. And it's very blunt. And it's very much a warning. And God never leaves us doubting of what a life can act like and produce. And I'm talking about a Christian life. If it does not yield to the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, the believer's body, our bodies, are just as mortal and just as frail as a sinner's body. Do you know that? You better know it. But what sets us apart, brothers and sisters, and what the difference is the Spirit of God. And boy, what a difference it is. As a matter of fact, a difference from death to life. It's a difference of, I'm under the law or I'm under grace. It's a difference of, I'm dead or I'm alive and free. Hallelujah. And praise be to God, it is this Spirit of God that lives in us, which is our standing and gives us the power, hallelujah, the power over this dead body. Praise God. But as the Lord is reminding us, flesh is flesh. Amen? Amen. And Christians, even though the flesh is not who they are in Christ Jesus, we can live if we so choose, as if we are dead as a dog. Come on. We can live like that, even though the quickened life is always there, and by God's grace, that overcoming life, it's not that we even could overcome. That overcoming life is already in us, brothers and sisters, that has overcome all the lies, and we, by God's grace, should be living the reality of Christ in us, or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And that is truth, brothers and sisters. The question is, will we make the grace of God gain in our lives, or will we make the grace of God void in our lives? That's really the choice. We're all in that precious same realm. We all have that same precious life. We all have every bit and full potential, opportunity, provision, purpose, and power that God has given so freely for us to grow up into Him in all things. Amen. What do we want? And this is what God is laying out here. So let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, brothers and sisters, and again, that's that fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. As the Lord said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either of Christ or you're of Antichrist. We have to understand this. And by God's grace, we still love souls. We do. We love souls because Christ Jesus died for the sin of all men. We want people to be saved. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God hates sin. And I thank the Lord that this is a convicting and a chastening time that we're in right now. Is whose servant will we be? Amen. But you know, it doesn't get much more clear. When we do not want to yield, and listen to that again, when we do not want to yield, do you know you choose not to yield? You're not forced not to yield. You're not pushed not to yield. It's when we choose not to yield. And when we choose not to yield, you know what happens? There's no thankfulness. There's no more real sincere appreciation of the Lord and His Word. Amen? It is the truth. Every single time. Every single time. You know when God is so dealt with you. And thank God for the chastening. And thank God for His faithfulness that we endure it because of His love and His grace, that we endured His sons. And we endure that chastening that He gives us. But you know how your heart breaks when you know that you have been selfish. When you know you have been stubborn. When you know you have not yielded to what the Lord has wanted. And it hurts. And I thank God because we know grace. It's not in guilt. It's not in fear. I'm sorrowful because I hurt you, Lord. I hurt someone that has done so much for me. The one who really loves me. The one who's given me everything. And Lord, I'm grateful to God for a tender heart that thank you, Jesus. There, it's called a repentant heart. It's called a broken heart. But thanks be to God, I'm finding more and more. It's an I love you, Lord, heart. And he gave you that. Be thankful for it. Because let me tell you something, there's a lot of hardened hearts out there. There's a lot of folks anymore that doesn't even affect them. So set in a stiff-necked way that I just don't know if the time has passed them by or not. But his word, but I'll tell you what, when his word is superseded by our selfishness, the only thing that can result from that is a life that will move after flesh. Listen to that. We can make a lot of excuses of why we're going that way. We can make a lot of excuses why it's more convenient, let's be honest, to step away from the truth. Of why my life is going to sit better, or it's going to be an easier tract, or I can still get the Word of God. I can have fellowship. And I thank the Lord, I think I've been in a crash course. I've heard a lot of things over these last 8 years. Well, I know the bridal truth, but I don't like anybody there because they don't run well, and I'm just going to run in my house. Now, what do you say to that? Except, I pray for you. There's ones that, unfortunately, we make poor decisions, don't we? We make decisions out of fear. We make them out of feeling. A lot of times, very emotional things. And we want to think we're trusting God, but really what we're doing is we're laying our own tracks, and we're saying, God, you're going to run the train down them. And you know what? He's not going to do that. He loves you too much. And I talk about that a lot of times in the affairs of the heart. Be ye not unequally yoked. Don't do it. The Lord loves you. There will be chastening. Now, praise God for his grace. And I understand that all things are lawful. But again, I go back, all things aren't beneficial. And when we are unequally yoked, brothers and sisters, it's not a beneficial thing. And we need to understand this very clearly that, God, he's after us. And when we make those types of decisions, I pray for people because it's not over, it's not hopeless, but a lot of times we think it is. See, the devil gets us in that trap that we think it's hopeless. So the best that we can do is we've got to cut a deal. Well, we can't do the whole counsel of God here because it's just too offensive, but maybe we can eat some table scraps. God forbid. Fight. Fight. You will so wish you had. And it's never too late. It is just not too late. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll be so glad you did. You will be. Again, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with our children. Thank the Lord for the encouragement he's given us the last couple weeks with our kids. It's never too late. Put it in the ark. Put it in the ark. Sure, get it while you're young. Word of God encourages that. Train them up. But it didn't say, well, if you didn't, just give it up. Yep. There's consequences. We understand that. But I'll tell you one thing. If he be for me, who could be against me? Amen? I see a lot of people get down real quick. Well, you didn't do it that way. Too bad. That's not a loving heart. I read about here, you know, the Lord was dealing with thieves on a cross, dealing with prostitutes, dealt with precious men of God, even when they had gotten a little bit weary in well-doing, a little bit funky, thinking they were going a certain way. And God, in his faithfulness, said, no, ship's going to turn. Amen. Come on now. So, brothers and sisters, yielding to the flesh can manifest its ways in many ways. And I'm talking about for the life of a Christian. You take, for instance, there in Corinthians. Think of all the different things, just a few of them. There are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And here they were. They began, as they began to receive some of the scriptures and different things of the Lord, began to measure themselves against themselves. Let's compare who has a greater gift, huh? Let's compare who has greater knowledge. Let's compare who's more spiritual. And then yet another part of them, my goodness, were living the lives of anything goes. Got so debased that stepsons were taking their mothers. You see, you didn't think they had reality TV back then, did you? There's nothing new. That flesh has been dirty for a long time. But then, brothers and sisters, there were the Galatians. Now, there was a spiritual bunch there. But Brother Paul said to him, who hath bewitched you? What a horrible word to think of, that could happen. But let me tell you something, you better be aware. I better be aware. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, brothers and sisters, I can sadly say in my life, I've seen people go that way. I've seen people come into this meeting and receive some sweet, precious things of God and truly grow and even have testimony of Jesus Christ as first love. But somehow, the eyes turned off of him and on to me. Self. And what a destructive way that is. What a way legality that, again, is so appealing to the flesh. And my heart aches, brothers and sisters, but when you look to yourself, you're going to think what you could add or do that can go beyond the work of grace. Do you know that? That's exactly what you're doing. You may not think you're doing that, but when you look to yourself that somehow, some way, you're better, I'm glad you're quiet. These are sober times, aren't they? He's chastening us, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. It's a mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what the mark is? It's love. It's just pure love. It's pure grace. It's a ravished heart, both ways. Knowing how much he loves you and that transforming power of love. Transforming your life for him to will and to do of his good pleasure in me. And the one thing I know about that life, it will be a lovely life. It will be a loving life. It will be a spiritual life. It will be a restorer life. It'll be a life that wants to gather and assemble the much the more as we see that day approaching. If it's a life that's starting to fade away and take things for granted and becoming a little cold. Let me tell you something, you're getting sleepy. You're getting very sleepy. Jesus, tarry come Sunday, I believe without a doubt, you're going to hear something about ones that really thought that they were going to a wedding. I don't want to think I'm going to a wedding. I want to know by God's grace that the wife hath made herself ready. Not that we've apprehended. I understand. But it's all him. It's all his love. And I know that he will perform that good work which he's begun. Amen. Notice, he will perform, not me will perform. Not me will perform it for you. He must increase. And let me tell you, I'll just put us all in there, and we must decrease. Hallelujah. Now, these Galatians, again, they missed the mark because they missed grace. But then you think about even Paul's cry that we read back there in chapter 7. Boy, this one hits home for me. I believe you too. In that little statement where he said, "The evil that I would not, that I do." What an ache, huh? Isn't that an ache? Be thankful that that aches. Be thankful that your conscience is not seared with a rod of hot iron. Be thankful, praise God, that you have a tender heart. God can work with a tender heart. When you've become hardened to it, stiff-necked, the ground is just dry and clumpy all over, there's nothing that's going to grow there. Don't get into that set. Don't go there. Thank God, hallelujah, for a tender heart. But I'm talking about an ache, brothers and sisters, when we know better. An ache when there is a recognition to what I know that the Lord desires for me, but how to perform it, I can't do it. Amen? And that's just it. And that's the beauty of it all. You can't do it. But praise be to God, He already did it. And He already finished it. And that's the inner man. Hallelujah. And that's that precious great grace. Hallelujah. That I can, hallelujah, apprehend that power and live that power and have that transforming power in my life to stand back and watch the mighty hand of God perform that in my life. That's the beauty. That's the reality, hallelujah, of the glorying in the infirmities for Brother Paul, because he knew he couldn't do it. That was his happiness. That was his glory, because the very power of Christ was resting upon him. And unless by God's grace we have faith to get to that point, you will always, as a Christian, live in despair. You will always be defeated. Amen? It's precious to be tried. It's glorious, hallelujah, for temptations to be allowed by God to tempt you. Now, I'm not saying to enter into them, but praise God to fight the good fight of faith, as opposed to be one of those cold, icy ones. Well, I can't even believe you're tempted. Get out of here. You've already entered in and walked through all the land of condemnation. That's the truth. He's done it. He's performed this for you. And I thank God that we can rejoice in that. Hallelujah. But see, brothers and sisters, ones that think that they've figured it out, I'll tell you what, though, I love the Lord because, you know, He's so faithful that in due time, He'll have you crying uncle. You been there? I think ones that laugh probably were and have been. That's right. You think you got it? Oh, I'll tell you what, I remember a few times I thought, oh, I got this one licked and fixed and never going to bother me again. Oh, Lord, help me. And you know what? Praise God. He helped me. Hallelujah. So here it is. It's laid out plain and simple, isn't it? Flesh begats flesh. Yep. You put yourself first. You go in your own thoughts, and your life will end up with more flesh. But you put Him first, and your life will grow with the wine and the fullness of the Spirit. See, carnal minds, as the Word of God tells us here, can only produce one thing, and that is death. And now we know a Christian can never be dead. We know that. The Bible tells us that very clearly. We're alive. Hallelujah. But I do want to make certain we understand this too as well. Even in verse 9 we read, we are not in the flesh. And I want you to know this, that nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say a believer is in the flesh. Did you hear that? Nowhere in the Word of God does it say the believer is in the flesh, because we can't be. We cannot be. Go back to verse 9. That's why we began there. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, because we are in the Spirit. Amen. That better be an amen, because it's a victory. It's a precious, absolute victory to recognize, praise God, and to be sure that He finished it. Yes, brothers and sisters, I understand that we can mind the things of the flesh. We can entertain the things of the flesh. We can act like a barking dog. But we will always be a precious sheep. That's it. We're precious sheep. That's it. It can't be anything else. Now, we all know the spiritual sweet promises of a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind has the peace of God. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? When we have a spiritual mind, it's a precious mind, there is the peace with God. We have the peace of God. I love that. And I thank the Lord for that precious peace. And thank God that it's there even in a storm. It's there in a trial and in a test. It's there in fiery furnaces. Because His mind, praise God, is always in perfect peace. Praise God. I thank the Lord. When I'm anxious, I know that that's not spiritual, the things of the Spirit. I know when emotions run amok in my life in one way or another, I know that I am not yielding to that precious Spirit. See, His mind is always confident in the Word. And the Word, praise God, is always for us. And the Word, praise God, always withholds nothing good. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's peace. That's rest. That's absolute assurance, as we almost get to Romans 8:28. And we know. Yes, we do. We know. And again, to them that are called according to His purpose. And His purpose in our life is that we yield to Him. That we yield, praise God, to that new man. That we yield, praise God, to the power that works in us. But see, the carnal mind, as it says here, is enmity with God. Self is proud. Brothers and sisters, no matter how you want to think about it, self is proud. And where is the proud seen from God? Afar off. So carnal minds, we know, are not subject to God's desire. They're not subject to God's Word. A carnal mind is death to the Word of God. So then, even though all things are lawful for us, when we seek the things that are not expedient for us or beneficial to us, then the things that are of the flesh and not the Word, brothers and sisters, then we know that that is not faith. We're not living the life that God has so divinely given us. It's not living the life that we are. And when we choose to live the lie that it speaks of it here in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, even though we are not in that realm, praise God, whatsoever, because we are in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, we can still be having sin reign upon us. And that's the truth. And we can live in defeat. And we can live in that lie. And we can live basically in a life that's not really giving off much life. We can have a testimony. I remember hearing of that brother that went into the service and that comes back, and they asked him, oh, how did it go? And he said, oh man, it was great. I was in there for a couple years and no one ever even thought for a moment that I was a Christian. I got through just fine. And I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, hearing stuff like that, because see, he was trying to assimilate, not to stand out and things of that nature. By God's grace, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By God's grace, we want to live a life to be lights in this world, brothers and sisters. And see, verse 9 again reassures us and it confirms to us who we are in Christ. And let's go back and read that. We are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's none of his. See, as Jesus Christ said, I don't pray for the world. Did you know that? Doesn't pray for it. Nope. Only his. Those that are mine. So he's setting this out very, very clearly for us, brothers and sisters. It's not good God, good devil, good everybody. We've come to that time where, again, we understand it's the prince and the power of this air. It is. It's not in this or that or this cause or this political party or whatever we want to try to think of all of this. This is the enemy. This is what's going to happen because the Word of God said these things would be so. Praise the Lord. His Word is true. It's coming. And praise be to God, we see that it's here. And we know that there is a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And unless we look to the Word of God, a lot of these things can be very subtle. The enemy can be very, very subtle and deceive us with very subtle things. But we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We're not. We're without excuse. Praise the Lord. Because we have the word of his grace. We have the light. And the light shines out all that darkness. We don't need to understand what the darkness is. The light shows exactly what it is. You don't need to go studying the counterfeit. Praise be to God. We've got the original. The original smokes that out every single time. The counterfeit cannot stand against the word. That's why I'm thankful to the Lord, as the Lord is encouraging my life and witnessing and truly preaching truth in love. I don't need to bang on or diss or things of that nature, the Antichrist things. I want to preach the word of God, and that does it. It exposes it. It convicts. If you want to hear the word of God, and if we want to base our conversation on the word of his grace, I'm there. Hallelujah. We will search the scriptures. But if we're going to argue over things that are not contained in the word, why would I waste my time? It will never be, it never convince them. If you're going to use other books or other this, no, you said the word of God. And he said, anybody who adds to or takes away, let the plagues be on them. Come on. Well, it doesn't really add to. Well, then what does it do? And then if your add to is the right one, what about their add to? And their add to or their takeaway? Or all of these different things. You see how confusing that could be. Don't go there. We don't need to argue these things. This is glorious gospel. This is beautiful. It's a privilege to receive the word of God. And praise be to God, I thank the Lord that we were prepared afore unto glory, to the praise and the glory of his grace, to have this precious truth and treasure in the earthen vessel. It is wonderful. But brothers and sisters, it is precious. How verse 9 does reassure to us that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And now that we have read and the Lord has addressed many of the symptoms, and yes, they are symptoms, and I appreciate the testimony to my life of this. I understand there's many layers here. Speaking of, in a sense, the dead, the unbeliever, I understand that. But praise be to God, I don't want to be ignorant of the devil's devices to try to lure me to live that lie. God gives us these things, and I thank the Lord for this evidence that he gives us. These are symptoms of a defeated life, and we need to be sober, and we need to look at these things, and we need to understand and to address this. Lord, I do. I want a sincere heart. Amen. I want to be sincere in my walk. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and might. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, since we've addressed these things and the Lord's addressed them so clearly to us, now it's time to rejoice in who we are in Him and praise the Lord. The first thing is we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Amen? So again, the more than conquerors, as we've rejoiced over the past few weeks, is that He was tested, tried, and tempted in all of those things in all manners for us. Hallelujah. He lived it, died for it, and lived victorious in it, and raised, praise God, and is seated. It is finished. It is so done. It is so complete. And that victory has been won. Every single thing we will ever face, Christ Jesus faced for us. Hallelujah. That is why in that, and it's victorious, that's why we're more than conquerors. We have that new man life. That's the inner man. Hallelujah. That is the life, praise God, that is growing up in us. And that, then, is the life that rejoices, hallelujah, in faith. And that is the life that when faith is rejoiced in, you talk about quickening power. It is so awesome. Quickening power is the spirit life, brothers and sisters, that abounds in hope. Amen? Abounds in hope. It doesn't sit there in defeat. It abounds in hope. It's quickened all the time. It's quickened in the Word of God. There's arrows that come and fiery darts and all of those different things, but you got the whole armor of God on. Hallelujah. I understand that. I got the helmet of salvation. Praise the Lord. I've got feet shod with the gospel. I've got a breast of righteousness. Hallelujah. I've got all of those precious things that God has given. And that is just it. Hallelujah. The more of His Spirit, hallelujah, that we receive in His Word, we grow in the beauty of His grace. His infinite love for us, brothers and sisters, to be glorified together with Him, to be ruling and reigning together with Christ Jesus. And in that precious truth and in that quickening power of the Spirit, you want to live for Him. You want to live for Him. You want that precious life, brothers and sisters, because you love Him. It comes back to that marriage life. We heard the stories many times before. The young lady that's in the palace, the princess, but she falls in love with the pauper. And she'll leave all of that just to be with Him because of love. There's nothing that can stop her from that. And I thank God because this truly is it. It's love that causes us to yield to God. It's His love. We love Him because He first loved us. And as we understand truth in love, that's when we will respond. Amen. That's when it will be something that's sincere. That's when it will be something that's lasting. When we try to move out of duty, out of fear, out of guilt, all of those different things, it doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy. Love satisfies. Love satisfies. And I thank God for that. See, brothers and sisters, when this starts to hit us, we will want to go after nothing but the Spirit. And praise be to God, you'll then want to fight the good fight of faith. You won't want to give up. I know sometimes we feel like giving up, but that's when the rush of glory comes back in our lives. And you know what? We fight on, and we fight because of the love of God that He has given to us. And then we're not entertaining the lies of the devil anymore. Isn't that wonderful when we can let His mind be in us? Isn't that wonderful? In that immediate, how faith is immediate when we allow the mind of Christ to reign in us. There's things that might have been battling and making you anxious or angry or bitter or trying to come at you. But when you yield to the mind of Christ, it doesn't take time. It's just done. Isn't it wonderful? I'm talking the peace that passes all understanding. It's marvelous, brothers and sisters. And that's what the Word of God is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's all powerful. There is nothing that can stand against it. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. And that is what is so wonderful. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything. Doesn't matter what's going on tonight. We talked about in some of these prayer requests, whether it was a touch in body or healing of mind or jobs or finances, all of these different things. Nothing can stand against the Word of God. And it is the truth, and it is the peace that passes all understanding. He is so for us, brothers and sisters, and I thank God. And in that absolute assurance, that's when we begin to really run after Him. See, the lies of the devil, as we turn to the Lord and let His mind reign, they become so obvious. Because we're not ignorant. Because God said, I'm going to make this known to you. And then as you see that and you love the Lord, you flee the appearance of that evil. It might have been an evil that just took you and shook you down, did all of these things for so many years. But as you fell in love with Jesus, it's like, man, I got to get away from that. And it was something maybe I used to embrace. But that's what the love of God does. Hallelujah. You can't flee it. It's the love of God that takes you from it. It's wonderful. You don't go to the camp. You go unto the Lord out from among the camp. It's incredible. It's all Him that draws us. It's all Him that opens the heart. And He is so ready to do it. And matter of fact, He's performed it for us as we take the grace to trust Him. Now, some of the other things that are so wonderful is these emotions and actions in our mind that maybe seemed goodly or maybe not goodly or whatever. See, the truth is the truth. And as we love Him and we love, and He's the truth, see. When you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with the truth. It's precious to you, isn't it? It's sweet. There's nothing more satisfying. And that, praise God, is the Spirit life reigning in us. And we begin to truly overcome. Amen. That's the surrendering to the Word of God. Let's go on and read verses 10 and 11. And if Christ be in you, see, here we are. We got victory. Hallelujah. If Christ be in you, and He sure is, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Now, praise God, we know that the old man is dead. The old man is dead. We are new. And I'll tell you what, we've heard this time and time again in this study, haven't we? How many times has He told us this in so many different ways? And why? Because we have to get this. We have to get it. Even as we think we've really apprehended it and embraced it and all, then we get to thinking about it again. Now, wait a second. The foundation's been laid, amen? That's the foundation, see? Who we are in Christ and how beautiful this is. And if we're going to really rule and reign, brothers and sisters, this has to be embraced. This has to be lived, hallelujah, that we through Christ, we've been made dead to sin. Our life is righteous, the inner man in us, it's Him. And that is our life, and that is the life that we feed, and that is the life that we depend upon, and we grow up into Him. Isn't that something? It's all Him. It's all Him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's it. It's His life. I am so thankful to that. And I am so thankful, praise God, that that is, again, that's my dependence. It is Christ. And it's the life of Christ in me that I'm dependent upon to live in me, to make those decisions. Hallelujah. That mind of Christ, this Word, hallelujah, working and living effectually in me. It's there, just continuing to feed the Word of God in my life for that new man to grow up into Him in all things. That is so wonderful. It's so awesome. It's not something that's far off. It's not something that, well, my goodness, how is this going to happen? It just grows. It grows just like a baby. You feed the baby. You feed that baby. You nurture that baby. You groom all those things. And my goodness, you got a little toddler. And then, my goodness, you got a teenager. Boy, you better really feed and nurture and got to do a lot more then, huh? Don't just let it grow. That's what they say. Oh, just let them go. Let them go do what they want. Well, I'll tell you what, they go do what they want. That's a way of death. It's a way of death. But you feed them and you train them up. And you got a promise on that life. You put them in the ark and praise be to God. How beautiful. And we do. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. You start living by these and you know what happens immediately. We fear. We doubt. We begin to flail about. Toss to and fro. Amen? See, that's the unstable one that's in all their ways. I don't want to be that way. I've been that way. I'm standing on a rock that's higher than me. And that rock doesn't move. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that rock moves me. It does. I stand on the rock, and the rock moves me. Hallelujah. Wherever that rock's going to move, praise be to God. I felt this last few days, especially, so many things coming at me. Felt like my life is just in warp speed again. I don't like that. I was expressing that. A brother called me and just been on his heart for the last few days. I said, well, thank the Lord. I appreciate those prayers. But I know that God is not just allowing. This is a willing that's going through. But I am praying fervently, Lord, I need to just be still. I just want to be still. You might be moving very quickly, but I just want it all still. There's no time to God. It's in freeze frame. I just want to be still. Doesn't matter all these things going on. You know what? He's going to take care of me. Amen. And he will. And it was just like, boy, I was washed. I was just kind of set there. Come on, honey. Felt like I needed a little rocking. But he did it, and that's how precious and patient he is with us. But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. And it's in the very life of Christ that lives in us. The quickening power is so freely given. Now think of this quickening power as we close here tonight that we're talking about. This is the same power, the same one who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead. Now this wasn't just raising somebody from the dead. You know, there are people that were raised from the dead like Lazarus and, you know, different ones throughout the Word of God that we read about. But we're talking about dead in sin. See, he died, praise God, and he became sin for us who knew no sin. And praise God, we're talking that kind of power. Now, you got something that power can't raise you out of? You got something that power can't take care of? Oh, Jesus. Now, that's when it really hits me. How could I doubt you? How? Oh, Lord, increase my faith and help my unbelief. Oh, I want to just love you so sweetly and purely and fervently. And the only way that I can show that is to just believe you. To reveal that in my life is just to truly to have that faith, that unwavering faith, Lord God. That praise the Lord, you've done it and freely given it to me. But see, this is that power, that quickening power that causes us to rise up, that strengthens us, that renews our mind, and moment by moment causes us to live for him, to fight, brothers and sisters, and not to give in to live in the mire, not letting sin reign or control our lives. Body, soul, and spirit, Christ did it all, and he finished it all for us. And brothers and sisters, we not only depend on that life, but we're confident in that life for him in all things. I'm confident in that life. I'm confident that I have a life in me, praise God, that truly, because of grace, will yield to God. That truly, because of grace, has the faith to believe God. Do you see that? That's the life that lives in you. That's the life that he has given you. That's the life that is all pleasing to God. It's there. It's there. And there is the grace, praise God, to quicken that life, to live for him. Now, that's to know him in the power of his resurrection. But without that confidence and unction of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we will never be a full overcomer. There's no other way but through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power that overcame sin and death. can easily and has already overcome everything for us. Said it earlier, he was tempted, he was tried, he was tested in every manner. And it's in that great love and in that great sacrifice that is our indebtedness. Isn't that wonderful? See, we're not a debtor to the flesh, as it says here. No, we've been bought with his blood. We are not our own. Our obligation, praise God, is to his love for us. I'll just jump ahead and read you a couple verses in chapter 12. And it answers it so sweetly. In verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that something? Praise God. And in thinking about that, that's just the reasonable response. That's just love. Somebody love you like that? Love them. Appreciate them. Praise God for the thankfulness of Jesus Christ. And then what happens? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what he's going after here. This is this Holy Ghost life. So finally in verse 13, one more time, look what he says to us again and again. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He loves us, brothers and sisters. And the flesh is a dead end. It's just a dead end. It is. It will never hit the mark. It's not who we are in Christ. It's the lie life. And here we are. Praise God. We can reckon. We can count. Hallelujah. With him, that beautiful finished work. The old man is, he's dead. But that word is, it's so vast and beautiful. And I'll just give you one other thought of this. That old man's not only dead, he's extinct. He doesn't even exist. Where we live, he don't exist. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. He might not live at your house, but he's at mine. Huh? No. No, he's not. No, he's not. Oh, hallelujah. And my goodness, not only does he not exist, but you know what? We can live the abundant Holy Ghost life now. And we can grow up in the power of his resurrection. What do you think about that? That's how you're going to grow. The only way you're going to grow. I'm beginning to see it like never seen it before. The power of his resurrection. What could be facing you that the power of his resurrection didn't already overcome? Finished. It's finished. Will we believe him? Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. And we're so grateful. Again, what you have done and given and praise God performed all in that precious Lamb. Now, Lord, we know that, these things are hard to be understood for them that will wrestle with it. But God, as you said so sweetly, let this mind be in you. Just let it. I don't need to beg for it. Never going to force it. Can't earn it. You've given it. Let it reign. Let the mind, let the word of God truly reign. There's a people being encouraged here tonight to win you, to finish with a full joy. And this is the full joy, Lord, is rejoicing in what you have done for us. That it is finished. That, Lord, you did perform it. And praise be to God, you are performing and will perform the good work which you've begun in us. I believe you. Now, Lord, help us to lay hold of that great love for us. And that will give us the faith to believe you right into the midst of the throne with you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.